Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Welcome back to the show, my friend. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, here with another episode that is going to help you sift through the diet culture bullshit to find no-nonsense nutrition education. If you tuned into our last Q&A podcast episode, Coach Lauren and I were talking about our five most popular podcast episodes to date. I have been recording the podcast, I want to say, coming up on 4 years. So there are a lot of episodes, and bringing you an episode each and every week means that we've covered a ton of topics. And on that list of top five episodes, the second most listened to episode, episode 190, was five simple steps to lowering your cholesterol, which did really, really impress Lauren and I, because we are constantly preaching the fact that how you feel in your body, how your health is showing up for you, how you're performing needs to be more important than the number on the scale or the size on the pair of pants that you're currently wearing. There is nothing wrong with aesthetic goals. There is nothing wrong with wanting to create body composition change, but how we look means absolutely nothing if how we feel in our bodies and how we perform is in the gutter. So it was really encouraging for us to see that you, our listeners, are actually valuing the health-focused education that we're sharing. So of course, I asked myself, how can we share more of this? And I was thinking through the most prevalent health conditions that our clients are working at managing alongside of coaching with us. And of course, blood sugar, type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes is at the very, very top of that list. So I thought, why not do an episode on how to manage your blood sugar in five simple steps and see if maybe it resonates with you just as much as episode 190 did. But first, let's start at the very beginning. What the heck is type 2 diabetes? And if you have pre-diabetes, that just means that you're on the road to becoming a type 2 diabetic. What does that actually mean? It is a condition characterized by insulin resistance and relative insulin deficiency, which you may have heard before. To break that down even further, insulin resistance is when the cells in our body become resistant to the effects of insulin, which is a hormone that our pancreas produces that helps us to regulate blood sugar levels. So even though the pancreas produces insulin, when we have insulin resistance, our cells don't respond to it effectively. So at the very beginning, our pancreas is like, okay, well, I have to compensate for insulin resistance by making more, and I'm going to try to keep the blood sugar levels within normal range. However, over time, the pancreas becomes really tired and it's unable to produce enough insulin to overcome the insulin resistance. And as a result of insulin resistance and decreased insulin production, because remember, our pancreas is tired, our blood sugar levels rise higher than normal, which leads to hyperglycemia, high blood sugar levels. And this can cause, you know, symptoms, like fatigue, frequent urination, increased thirst, and blurred vision. But namely, you will see that when you get a blood panel done, your fasting glucose numbers and or your A1C, if your doctor is testing for that, will be above the normal level. It's also worth mentioning that individuals who have type 2 diabetes also tend to struggle with excess body fat, and excess body fat contributes to insulin resistance, which then worsens the condition. So when we have type 2 diabetes, it is extremely important for us to make lifestyle changes, dietary changes that help us to, one, manage our weight, and two, help control our blood sugar levels. So
If you find yourself in a position, or maybe there's someone that you know or love who is in a position where they or you are needing to better manage your blood sugar levels. Perhaps you just got a blood panel done and your doctor told you that you are pre-diabetic, or maybe you've been a type 2 diabetic for quite some time and you're ready to do something about it. What are the things that are going to be the biggest needle movers for you when actively trying to manage your blood sugar? I'm so glad you asked. Let me tell you. Step number one is to focus on a balanced diet. Don't tune me out yet. That includes plenty of vegetables, lean proteins, healthy fats, and whole grains, or what we refer to here at Nutrition with Nicole as smart carbs. We want to have this balanced diet because it is prioritizing protein and fiber, which we get from fruits and vegetables and whole grains. Also, some healthy fats contain fiber, and protein and fiber are basically our blood sugar's best friends. Now, why are fiber and protein our blood sugar's best friends? Let me tell you. Fiber is what helps to slow down the digestive process, which is why foods with fiber keep us fuller for longer, and it slows down the absorption of carbohydrates, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a second. This helps to prevent rapid spikes in blood sugar levels after meals because it delays the release of glucose, sugar, into the bloodstream. So as a result, our blood sugar levels rise, which is normal, but they rise more gradually and remain more stable over time. Fiber has also been shown to improve insulin sensitivity, which means that our cells are better able to respond to insulin and take up glucose from the bloodstream. This, of course, helps lower overall blood sugar levels and helps to reduce the risk of insulin resistance. So fiber is great when it comes to managing blood sugar. Protein is also great because protein-rich foods like lean meats, poultry, fish, eggs, certain types of dairy products, legumes, tofu, plant-based proteins totally account here. They have a minimal impact on blood sugar levels comparatively to carbohydrates, which again, we'll talk about in a minute. So when you eat protein as part of a balanced meal or a balanced snack, protein also helps slow down the absorption of carbohydrates, resulting in a more gradual rise in blood sugar levels after eating. The stabilization of blood sugar is exactly what we're striving for. We want to prevent those super big spikes and those super big crashes. And protein and fiber are our body's best way to do that. Not to mention, high fiber and high protein foods tend to be the most filling and satisfying, which, as we've talked about on the show many, many times before, that helps to control our appetite and prevent overeating, which also is beneficial for weight management. Remember, I said having excess body fat can sometimes be supportive of insulin resistance. We don't want that. So if we're eating a sufficient amount of fiber and protein, it is more likely that we will have feelings of fullness, and then we can more accurately make sure that our caloric intake matches our caloric needs. So protein and fiber are your two best friends. Pretty much, I mean, everybody's two best friends, but especially if you are looking to manage your blood sugar. Step number one, you must eat a balanced diet with protein and fiber. Most of us overconsume carbohydrates and fats, and probably not the super healthy ones. So if that feels like it's representative of your diet, maybe try incorporating a serving of protein or a serving of fiber at one meal a day and see how that feels. Then maybe start adding it at two meals a day and see how that feels. Step number two is controlling your carbohydrate consumption. When it comes to managing our blood sugar levels, we have to monitor our carbohydrate intake and choose carbohydrates that are high in fiber and nutrient dense, meaning they're packed with all of the macronutrients and micronutrients that our body needs, as opposed to just being calories that are super crunchy and delicious. This also helps prevent rapid increases in blood sugar levels because fiber. Now here, I do want to say that portion control is also important. So if we eat a lot of any carbohydrate, for sure, our blood sugar is going to increase accordingly. So we do want to make sure that we're honoring our hunger and fullness cues. And not only are we choosing smart fiber-containing carbohydrates, think whole grains, think some of those plant-based proteins like beans and lentils are great smart carbohydrates, fruits, those types of things. Oats, quinoa, brown rice, brown bread products, whether it's toast or wraps or things of that nature, all have fiber comparatively to some carbs that we might grab, like white bread products or white wraps or things like candy or just maybe sugar sweetened beverages, pretzels, crackers, cookies, all that good stuff. I'm not saying you can't have that, but if you are trying to effectively manage your blood sugar, you definitely want to choose carbs with fiber first, and with any carbohydrate, manage your portion size. Step number three, incorporate regular physical activity into your daily routine. Ideally, we're looking at least 30 minutes of moderate to intense exercise most days of the week, but do not sleep on walking. Walking is so underrated, it's not even funny. Any type of cardiovascular activity, whether it's walking or cycling or swimming or dancing or you name it, if you enjoy it, insert here, improves insulin sensitivity and helps to lower our blood sugar levels. There have been research studies done on people who go for walks, just like a leisurely stroll. We're not even talking about anything crazy here, after having a meal, and their blood sugar levels are better regulated than people who sit on the couch after eating. So incorporating more physical activity into your life is going to be helpful, because think about it. The calories we eat, the food that we eat, is energy. And the more energy that we expend, the less energy is then stored or needing to be used by our body. So this helps to manage blood sugar, because our body is sending the glucose, the sugar in our bloodstream, and using it, sending it to our muscles to use for that physical activity. So then our blood sugar levels are better managed. Step number four is to stay hydrated, drinking plenty of water throughout the day. And this helps to avoid sugar sweetened beverages. So when we think about those simple carbohydrates, those non-fiber containing carbohydrates, any sugar sweetened beverage goes to the top of the list, because there is absolutely zero fiber in something like a sugar containing soda or the Frappuccino that you get from your favorite coffee shop. These things are going to lead to an immediate spike, assuming that you're having this drink in isolation. You're not pairing it with the protein, you're not pairing it with the fiber, and that is not ideal for your blood sugar. So we want to make sure that you're drinking plenty of water, staying hydrated throughout the day, and if you feel like you need something else, opting for an herbal tea or perhaps an artificially sweetened beverage like a diet soda and other lower calorie beverages can be helpful. Hopefully it comes as no surprise that it has been reported that sugary beverages like soda, sweetened teas, energy drinks, fruit drinks, they do contribute to a significant amount of liquid calories in the American diet. We do like to drink our calories, and this kind of shoots us in the foot for two reasons. So one, the consumption of sugary beverages, like I mentioned, has been linked to a lot of health issues, including type 2 diabetes, but not limited to that, cardiovascular disease, dental problems. But two, liquid calories are not very satiating. I mean, unless we're talking about a protein shake or something of that nature, straight up sugar sweetened beverages do not give us the same full feeling that we get from chewing our calories and from eating our calories. So we're more likely to then overeat, which brings us back to the excess body fat issue. So step number four, stay hydrated and minimize your sugar sweetened beverage consumption as much as you can. Step number five, and this one might feel a little different for you, but it is so important, is to monitor your blood sugar levels regularly. If you have type 2 diabetes, your doctor has probably advised you to do this already. I work with many clients who have type 2 diabetes, and this has been so important in helping them to reduce their blood sugar levels and, in some cases, get off of their diabetes medication. Because we are able to track before and after meals, before and after exercise, how different foods and different activities affect their blood sugar levels. And when we're able to assess trends, we can make adjustments over time. So for example, I have a client who is a type 2 diabetic. She has been on medication for it for quite some time, and it was one of her goals to get off that medication. And so when we started working together, she committed to tracking very regularly, multiple times throughout the day, and then uploading that report to our shared Google Drive folder where I can see and monitor her information alongside of her. What we were able to see very quickly is that when she ate a meal with protein and fiber, her blood sugar levels were more likely to be in an ideal range. Whereas if she needed to grab something really quick, or she didn't food prep for the week and she ate a predominantly carbohydrate heavy meal, her blood sugars would almost always be in the high range. Now, after she was able to see this over time, she was able to study this trend, it became obvious to her that her body would respond best when she ate a balanced diet. And so that really further supported her practice of making time to food prep each week and making sure that she had a protein and or a fiber source at most meals. The same thing can be said for exercise. So interestingly enough, this client was very consistent with strength training, and we started adding some cardiovascular activity in as well. But when she would go to the gym and do her lifts, she would notice that temporarily her blood sugar levels would increase. This is a normal stress response. So because her body was stressed, she was doing some heavy lifting, her blood sugar levels were up temporarily, but then they would be better managed throughout the day after she made time to be physically active. I can't tell you how important it is to have this kind of data so that you can see. I mean, numbers don't lie, right? You can see, oh, this is how my body reacts when I eat X versus when I eat Y. Another mind-blowing experiment that we conducted was blood sugar levels after she consumed alcohol, which was very sparingly. But after some research and tracking after she drank alcohol, she pretty much decided to eliminate alcohol from her life because her blood sugars just reacted so negatively to her alcohol consumption. So monitoring your blood sugar levels is vital when trying to reduce your blood sugar, reduce your medication, get off your medication, whatever it may be. Obviously, you should be working in conjunction with your healthcare team. If you are on medication, you should be overseen by a physician of some sort. Make sure that he or she is supporting your interventions, whether it's lifestyle, nutrition, physical activity. You want to be working closely with your care team. But I know that it can be frustrating to get a blood panel result and see that you are now in the pre-diabetic range and or the diabetic range. And I want you to know that it's okay. We can, by making a few simple changes with lifestyle, with dietary intervention, and with physical activity, help you to manage your blood sugar levels and improve your overall health and well-being. If you need some help doing that, certainly reach out. Coach Lauren and I are happy to help. I mentioned we have many clients who are also managing blood sugar levels in addition to repairing their relationships with food and or creating healthy body composition change. If we can help you in any way, fill out a coaching application. The link is always below, and or hit us up on Instagram. You can find me at Nutrition with Nicole and shoot us a question. We're always happy to help.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.